Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Weekly Awakening Podcast. It is your host, Colleen, Cosmic Colleen. This is going to be an exciting episode. This is an episode I have never done before, and I am very grateful for my friend Molly Jane over in the UK right now. I'm going to do her birth chart while on my podcast, which again, I am super nervous about to put myself out there. You guys will all get to see as I learn. You know, this is a new journey for me, you know, reading natal charts, birth charts, reading all of those and doing that. This is new. So I said, let's do it on the podcast for everyone to listen to. And I'm so happy that she agreed, and she is to a degree an open book, which we'll get into that since she's an Aquarius rising. So yeah, just so everyone knows, the way I read birth charts is whole sign houses. That's what I do now. That's how I learned when I studied under Nightlight Astrology. And to me, it makes the most sense. So it is a whole sign house. So one of the signs represents the entire house versus like the quadrant base where it can, you know, two different signs can represent the house or whatever. So, you know, her whole first house is just Aquarius. So if that makes sense. So forth and so on, and we will just talk. So say hello, Molly. Do you like Molly or Molly Jane?
I like Molly. Molly's good.
Just yeah. Molly? I like Molly.
Yeah. Yeah. I just sort of started using the Jane as more of a last name because my other last name I wasn't too
keen on. You didn't like it?
No, we don't vibe with it so much. Lots of different reasons around that. But yeah, no, just Molly.
Just Molly. Yeah. Okay, I love that. I was supposed to be named Molly. I don't know if I ever told you that.
I love that. I think you might have, yeah.
I probably...
It's my name. I think because of the Irish as well. You've got like Irish in like somewhere in your blood, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Like, Irish and Scottish.
Family history.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a little UK-er.
It's funny, I don't have any. I think my mom just liked the name. So.
Oh, you don't have any?
No, but my partner's Irish, so.
Aww.
I now sort of connected to that, so the little one will have it for me.
Okay. Ooh, that's okay. So we can talk about the little one.
Yeah.
The new little one. That's open information,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Open information.
Okay.
Now.
Molly's having another son. That is so exciting. I love watching Oliver. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good. Very tired, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
It's it's exciting, nerve-wracking, all in one.
Aww.
But no, it's exciting.
Where in the UK are you located right now?
I live in Norwich, which is, it's like a couple of hours away from London, sort of up on the east side, East Anglia, I think they call it, as well as like Norfolk.
Okay, it's so, like a country town?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. It's quite a small city. Oh. It's, I think it was a medieval city at some point, but we're not too far from the coast either, so you get the nice sort of countryside, and then, yeah, 40 minutes and you're by the beach.
I think that's very interesting because that has sort of like a darker feel to it, right?
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah.
Hold on, let me, I'm like about
got lots to... of old buildings and like old walls sort of still going around, and yeah, it's nice.
Is that where you go to sort of relax?
Quite quaint.
Where do you go when you need to have your moments? Because
I probably walk by the river because we've got a really nice river going through Norwich. So there's lots of nice like parks and kind of woodlands, and yeah, you've got like the river running through, so that's quite nice.
Which is a very Pisces sun. You're a Pisces sun. Yeah. Her and I always joke about over the years, you know, I think like, where do you go when you need to just like feel your sorrows for a little bit? You know, I feel like walking along the river in a UK town where it's a little rainy is very perfect for that, and it soothes you, right?
Yeah, I grew up by the sea as well. Like my home sort of town where I was born was literally like a seaside town.
Really?
So it's quite funny with being a Pisces, then that sort of, yeah, that kind of connection to the body of water.
Yeah, and you also have a Sagittarius moon, which, you know, I feel like a Sag moon would be like close to the ocean or like the sea or somewhere sort of fun with that.
You know? And I don't think my mum obviously knew at the time, but I think the name Molly in Irish means star of the sea or something like that. And then with like being by the sea, being Pisces, having the Sag moon, I was just like, oh, okay, there's definitely a lot of water going on here.
That's very you. That is very you. I love that.
I cry, there's so much like water that like I cry a lot. Like there's a lot of
You get very overwhelmed. But before we jump into that, because I want to talk about that, because I wrote a lot about you getting overwhelmed, I like to just do a close your eyes. If you have any sage or anything you like to do, we just kind of ask to bring in our angels, ancestors, guides, people to help guide us through this reading so you can hear exactly what you need and are supposed to hear at this moment. So just a quick couple minutes. Take a deep breath in. Everyone listening, you can take a deep breath in. And even if you are listening, welcome in your own angels, ancestors, and guides, and tell them to let you pick up and remember something from this episode that you were supposed to hear to bring some awareness. So, okay, Molly's angels, ancestors, and guides, please guide us through this reading. Please allow me to share with her exactly what she needs to hear in order to gain awareness, a look into herself, and help her soul grow. Please let lots of positivity come from this and protect us from any negativity or negative realms. Amen. It's hard for me to like sometimes not say amen since I grew up Catholic for so long, you know, and do the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I feel it is funny because I feel the same. Mum sort of like raised me like in sort of a church environment. So I sort of just remember all of it. It's sort of like ingrained.
In the what kind of church environment?
Christian, not Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah. But I find them quite similar. I'm probably going to have like everyone coming at me in comments like, no. But I don't know. I've always found them quite,
Well, it is. I think as how long did you go to church for?
Up until I was about 12, 13. And then I was just sort of, I was like, no. I'm not going now.
No, what's interesting with, because, you know, in your second house of finance, and this isn't about finance, but and sometimes in my reading, and we're also talking, I kind of jump a little bit all over the place, so you follow that, you know, you got the mutable sun and the mutable moon, you can follow that, is that you had a sense and an upbringing of like an understanding of something greater than you, right? Pisces travels different realms of understanding. And so that's why now, as I've known you over the years, you probably still take on the practices and maybe some of the traditions, maybe even just as simple as prayer or sending out positive energy. But you have since dived into other structures.
Yeah.
Right? Do you sometimes, though, when you have like a harder time, though, getting behind certain things?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, always been such a, I've always not thought that it was wrong, but I've always almost felt like out of place for not being able to, because I've just been like, but I can sort of get behind so many different things and enjoy like all of the different sort of aspects. I'm like, is that like how you're supposed to do it? Like, is there a way you're supposed to do it? I feel like it's taking a long time to trust just being my own person, I guess.
Being your own person. And I think with the Pisces sun and you got a Venus there and the Sag moon, those two things are kind of like mutable. When you have two big mutable, it's sort of like, oh, I can go this way and I can go this way and I can attach to this and I can detach to this and I can attach to this. And so I think all of that is correctly, right? Especially since we just sort of live in this moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Now,
I'm quite an open.
Are you an open book?
Yeah, quite an open book. But then it's funny because I think that, and then when I sort of have like chats with like friends and other like sort of people, I realize that I'm actually also quite close, like I'm both sides.
Can we talk about that? Because I wrote a lot about that, right? A lot about your clothes. And I actually wrote, you are very open to the degree of what you can control with yourself. And so we have never met in person. And I want to say I met Molly maybe the end of 2019, the middle of 2019 before the pandemic. And I'd wanted her on this show when I started doing the quarantine files. And it's just like our life just kept missing. And our she's over on the other side of sea. And it lined up exactly when it should, this episode. However, and we talk online and in between each other, but what she posts out about herself, right, which is a very, so you're an Aquarius rising with a Mercury in there and a Mars in there. So there's going to be this sense of like pride, but the Aquarius, they like to put themselves out there, but again, in a very controlled way, because it's traditionally ruled by Saturn. So, and yeah. Mercury having there would be your communication, the way you put yourself out there. So you really don't put pictures of yourself out there, right? As opposed to some Pisces are like, here I am. You don't put pictures of yourself out there. Your personal life, you know, not even so much of your kids. You have a very, like, you know, so one-on-one, if, like, you and I are going to sit on the show, and you'll I'll probably find out more in everyone that knows you than they have.
They'll probably find out more about me in this than they've, like, ever. Like, if someone listened to it that's followed me, like, the whole way through, they'll be like, oh, my God. We never knew any of this.
And what will be nice with the Pisces, you'll be like, oh, here, I don't even have to really tell you about my life. Just listen to this episode.
Yeah, listen to this. You can find it all out in just, you know. So much time. It'll save me.
Where do you find it hard to really put yourself out there when you thought about that, when you said your friend, like, where, how do your friends see you not put, which is very, very, very Virgo rising, how we actually see people. How do they see you reserved?
I feel like people see me quite differently. I feel like a lot of people have different sort of experiences with me. And so people can have sort of a different vibe, or like a different Molly, I guess. I have sort of noticed that I am very particular about, like, what I'm open about. Like you said, like, it is quite interesting. I think I get quite nervous about sort of, because there's sort of so many different sides to my character. It's like, if I show one side, I feel like I'm sort of fixed in that place. And then it's sort of like, if I show another, that then, like, I don't maybe seem sort of real or, like, authentic, because there's just, like, everything. There's so much, like, to it. So I'm just like, oh God, I'm just, maybe I feel I'm a bit too much at points.
No, that's honestly your Mercury in Aquarius in the first house, which is going to be big. Mercury is sort of like, in an Aquarius, it's almost like they give a little, but they're so scared of how they're going to be perceived, right?
Yeah.
Because the Pisces and the Sag moon is very, like, they're just so mutable. They just kind of show up how they show up no matter what. But, like, yeah. Your rising and the way your really personality is like, no, but I need to, you know, perfect that. Or what if someone doesn't like when this Molly shows up, or the wild Molly, or, you know, the more reserved Molly?
Yeah, it's funny. There's so many of them. And it's funny as well, because I feel like they clash. Like, and so for a lot of people that are sort of not, like, that way inclined, or sort of like in that way of thinking, they can sort of just be kind of like, how can you sort of have both? Like it's almost like a contradiction to them, because it's like, you can't have, like, be both things at the same time. You couldn't be prude and then be sort of like outgoing, or like okay with, like, different. Yeah.
Well, I do think, I mean, separate from astrology, I feel like we have multiple energies in us, right? We're not just one, and we clear energies, and we know that everything is energy. Yeah. So our personality, you know, I call mine the committee. Our personality has different energies and flows. And even in astrology, you have the big three, the sun, moon, and rising. And and all of those do play a part in your personality. And so with you, Mercury, and in your first house, every time Mercury shifts, you're going to take on your personality, and your communication is going to shift, right? Mercury is a fast-moving planet, takes on the characteristic of those it's closest to. It can go back and forth and be whoever it wants. So having that in, you know, Aquarius, which is Saturn rolled, but also has the Uranus tendencies to just sort of be a little erratic, it kind, you know, it's kind of shifting. So almost your personality sometimes sways three different ways.
Yeah. It's going all over the place. Because I noticed that's one of the reasons I wanted to jump on with you, is because I think I'd seen all of those planets, like, all in that, like, first bit. And I think someone online was like, you're going to live a miserable life. And I was like, I don't think that's the case. I was like, I'm going to go chat to Colleen. I'm not so sure. I don't believe you.
No, you're not going to live a miserable life at all. I think not at all. Sometimes so far, you know, I've been reading charts now, for at least a solid, comfortably, for about 18 months, maybe, on and off, and getting more comfortable now. And I've seen, and it doesn't always mean, and actually the astrologer episode I did a couple weeks ago with David doesn't necessarily mean, if your chart looks bad, that means that those are going to show up bad, you know, just harder aspects. But in the chart, we do have both good and bad, right? We can't live without both polarities in our life, the good and bad. And sometimes I see worse than others good, but yours is actually quite good. There's a lot about So no, you're not going to. And to clarify this for people listening and even yourself, if you don't have a planet in a certain, you know, section of your chart, in a house of your chart, that does not mean that that isn't, something isn't happening there. It just means it maybe isn't the loudest part of your of your life. And if you want to know, like, for instance, in your seventh house, you have no planet in there, but that's ruled by Leo. So you go to see where the sun is, right? And so the sun is in the second house of your own resources. And so in a Pisces way, so you might somewhat attract... maybe men in the past, however, that somewhat like you're very independent, or maybe you had to help them out, or you had to take, you know, care of them. So one of the lessons here is probably going to be, but you have a well-placed Venus. So, you know, with Saturn there down the road, or I don't know, your partner now or anything like that, you will have someone that probably will be able to show up and take care of you and do all of that, but you had to learn your lesson. That's one of the things. And, and putting, you know, you have trouble crossing boundaries. So also putting yourself first, which you have trouble in that. And so a lot of your life is about a little bit of career, friendships, gathering, and a lot about, your earlier life, you know, and also around financial houses. You almost have, you have kind of at the beginning and the end, right? You're right. You have a lot on the horizon, where everything is rising.
Oh,
you have a lot where everything is rising. However, I think, I think you had a much, I don't know, we never talked about your childhood and we don't have to, but Mars in the first house probably brings, and you have it squared, you know, Jupiter in Scorpio. So there's obviously, I know about you, some very deep, deep emotions, and you feel very deeply. I'm not sure, maybe you had some harder things upbringing. Was your mom a single mom?
Not, she was, but sort of from the age of like 13. So like my parents were together up until about 30, like from 30, I always used to say like 13 was like the worst year of my life. Like I still probably would vouch for that year being the worst year of my life. And that's like a being like 28. So it's really funny, but it's just, yeah, like I did, I had a really difficult time sort of like earlier on, especially like around that time. So she was sort of a single parent for a little while, but then they were together for another part of it, or the beginning part.
Okay, the beginning part. And then how was it after that, after 13?
It was pretty turbulent between them all, to be honest. Yeah, and I lost a lot of people. Like, I had quite a big family growing up. I was really lucky. I had, like, all of my grandparents and all of my great-grandparents, apart from, like, a couple of them. But obviously that comes with old age, and they all sort of started passing at like an age probably that I didn't really like understand. I think I was about 8, 9 when my first like grandparent left. And yeah, when I got to 13, I think I'd lost like two of like my really close granddads around the time that my mum and dad broke up. So there was just this massive like
loss,
gaping hole that was just created. And yeah.
At it like the hardest long... time, 13. So did you go down a little bit of a path of destruction?
Yeah, that was actually, it's quite, so when I think about it, obviously it was very sad at the point, but it's weird to think about it now. But at 13, I then actually attempted suicide.
Wow.
Because I just felt that I'd had enough. I was really like not in a very good place, felt very alone. And so, yeah, that was when I think about it now, I find it really shocking when I say it. I'm like, that's crazy. And I think as well, being a mum, it's like, it feels really like such a young age to make such a final decision. So it's like, but I don't know, the last 15 years, I'm now coming up to 28, have been, I don't know, I've had such a up, down, amazing, crazy time. Like, there's been so much good, so much bad that I don't know, I just appreciate life so much now for, like, how much there is. Even when you have those sort of hard times, I'm just like, I'm so grateful to still have it all.
To have it all. And it's interesting you said that, because you, again, you have a 10th house Jupiter, right? Jupiter, we look to our spiritual, our growth, our belief system, and it is also, you know, it's squaring some things in your first house. But with that, in Scorpio, that means big transformations come. Yeah. So you do find your joy, but you grow the most, which you do enjoy growing in the darkness. You like to grow from that darkness, but you find huge transformations through the darkness, which kind of explains your journey of up and down. Have you
I'm very quiet when I'm transforming as well, like when I'm sort of going through. So I've noticed sort of on the space of Instagram, I've always wanted to like be sort of one of these coaches and healers that's like right there at the front being like, this is what I'm going through, this is my emotion, or like this is how I'm feeling today. But I just I've always sort of gone through it in such a quiet sort of
just your Aquarius rising.
I have. It's hard to then sort of jump onto Instagram and be like, oh, hey.
Yes. Especially because with your Aquarius rising, like people can perceive you any way they want. Mm-hmm. So even if you try to put out the most controlled post, someone out there can always just say something or find something wrong with it or whatever. Yeah. So it's going to be part of letting that go. However, when I work on people's charts, I kind of just let things flow to me right now as I'm perfecting it, I guess you could say, or as I'm learning really how to what my flow is. And looking at your career, and I know that you do a lot of health stuff, and throughout the years you've tried various things with health. One thing that I came to, right? You know, you have the 11th house moon sat in Sagittarius, but your MC is also there, and the MC is where we go for when we look for career and things like that. And you have a sextile to Mercury Mars in the first house. So I feel like, right? And then you can tell people what you do for a career and where you're at right now with everything. I see you as leading groups and leading groups of people. I actually don't see you so much one-on-one because I think I think you take on way too much energy and you have trouble with that, like sort of merging with other people, that one-on-one, and you feel so deeply depletes you very fast and will make you miserable very fast. However, I see you either leading like groups, like retreats, women's retreats, you know, in Australia or somewhere, or even where you are locally. I also see you, you know, teaching like some sort of like exercise class and helping people both physically and mentally, but in a more of on a group one-on-one session. And I really see you merging the physical health with the spiritual health, especially with that, with the sextile to Mars, or, you know, like, you know, doing the yoga religion. And so what do you do? Where are you now? What are you currently doing?
It's really funny because at the moment I'm sort of focused. I've been doing my sort of Reiki healing. My mum is actually my master and she attuned me to master. So it was a really nice journey for like us both to go through together. So I've sort of been like doing my energy healing and then working sort of on the coaching side of it. But that's where it's funny because I wanted to do one-to-one, but then I also had this sort of like feeling where I wanted to do the sort of more group side of things. But I felt like I needed to sort of do more one-to-one to gain that sort of experience first and not just jump into doing the group thing. But maybe not. Maybe I should just go for it.
I mean, it can go both ways. You can jump into the group thing, which might even be easier, and then gain one-on-one if that's the way you feel. But however, I literally wrote that in the notes that's came to me.
That's
as
so
like,
funny.
You know, especially because the 11th house, we look at groups, right? That's where we look at groups and people and lots to have the moon there in Sagittarius. And, you know, and then the one-on-one is really why that wouldn't do so well is because the Jupiter in, you know, Scorpio, which is squared your Mercury and Mars there. Like, that's when I saw that. I saw taking on way too much in your career if you do one-on-one versus a large group of people.
Yeah.
And you take care of your health pretty well, your physical health, right? You eat well, you do a lot of herbs and stuff. You have a garden, don't you?
I do, although it's completely been desiccated by the storm we had recently.
Oh, you had a bad storm?
We did have a bad storm. We don't usually get storms like we had, but it was quite, I kind of nearly lost my trampoline to the bottom of the garden. Everything just got like blown everywhere. So I need to go out and tidy it up in a few days' time. It was pretty crazy. Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to spring, sort of going back to, so I can kind of get out there and start planting again.
You guys get the same, this might be like a dumb question, so anyone listening, like, feel free to laugh. You guys have winter the same time we have winter, right? And spring, everything. Like, are you coming upon spring in like March, April? March 21st?
Yeah, that is the time. Yeah, we come into spring sort of March, April time, and then summer, I think, is from then, probably like June, July, August. Anyone listening to this from the UK is probably going to be like, we don't have seasons. We just have one long
one log.
But no, it is. We just, I don't know. The UK definitely gets like just a lot of all weathers all the time.
Yeah. It's really like bouncy.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, that's it a very moon. The moon rules our environment. That's a very mutable moon as well. It's like, you know, not can't really control it. It's up and down and hot. Do you ever get like super hot days, 90 days? 90 degrees, I mean?
No. I think we probably go up because you guys work out in Fahrenheit, don't you?
Yes. And I don't know Celsius without typing into Google.
No, we don't work out into Google. But we don't really get any higher than about 30 degrees. Maybe that is 90 Fahrenheit. Let me check.
I bet you it's 80 degrees maybe.
Yeah. One second, my love.
Oh, there's
86.
Okay, so 86. Close, 86.
Yeah, we probably do get up to nearly 90.
That's nice. Do we have a little friend?
I think he's looking for crisps.
Aw. I thought I heard him say mommy.
Oh, you want your sweeties? Yeah, that's fine.
What does he want?
Sweets from school for, I think it was someone's birthday.
Cute. Did you call it sweeties?
Yeah.
Is that just what you call candies in general, or is that a type of candy?
Yeah, so like candy.
I love that. Like you're sweeties. I'm going to call that sweeties. I love that.
You come to say hi.
Hello.
Oh, there's Colleen's on here. Look, come over. Oh, you're going over, are you?
Hello.
Can you say hello?
Hello.
Can you tell everyone on the podcast what your name is?
Oliva.
Oliva. I love that name. And I love your blonde hair. We're going over your chart. What's Oliver's sun sign again? He's a Gemini.
You are Taurus.
Oh, you're Taurus.
Sorry, Aries. He's Aries. And then he's got a Libra moon and I think his Venus rising. I think that's you, my love.
Let's so a Taurus or Libra it. Rising.
Yeah, he's got a Libra. He's Libra moon, Aries sun, and then Virgo rising.
Oh, Virgo rising twins. You and I both were both Virgo risings.
Oh, look.
It's so funny that you're getting a little brother because Jupiter is moving into your house of marriage, which would be your mother, also represent a new sibling, and you're going to be such a good big brother.
You're so excited, aren't you?
Yeah. And my other son is a Libra moon. So that's very good. So enjoying lots of love. And it's funny, Molly, because we looked at children for the fifth house and you are having a Gemini and your Gemini rules your fifth house. So oftentimes there's a little bit of some affiliation with that. Is that funny?
I've got like quite a few Geminis around me as well. My mom's a Gemini and my sister's a Gemini. And then my partner, he's a Gemini.
Oh, romance. That's awesome.
His mum and dad are also Geminis.
Wow.
So him, his mum, his dad, and I think one of his grandparents as well, literally all had, like, they all have their birthdays in the same week.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
So they're literally got like 2 days apart, him, his mum and his dad. They're all Geminis.
Well, that's interesting.
There's a lot
because
of energy going on there. A
lot of energy. So Gemini's opposite is Sagittarius. You have a Sagittarius moon. And so the fifth house is family, kids, pleasure, romance, love. And your moon also rules your environment and family. So it's funny, especially of the other, that they're all Geminis in there.
Uh-huh. What it is. It's really funny.
Have you ever had any chart readings or anything?
No, I've always sort of looked like at things myself, but I've never kind of gone any further than that. And I was sort of looking recently and I was like, I just want someone to really like get into like real sort of personal answers rather than sort of like, because when you look online, there's so many sort of generic answers, but without sort of applying any context to all the different
very
angles
generic
and things like that, you just don't get like very personal with.
And that's why we recommend getting someone to read your birth chart. And even then, there's so much there. So if you can, you know, get it continued, right? And then this is the basis of starting to understand your birth chart and then get it continued to looking at it. Look at him. He is so cute. Hi. Yeah. Hi. Soon we were going to be teaching you all about your astrology.
Yeah. You actually had your birth chart. It's funny. His dad, your daddy's called Inca. His, Inca. your grandfather, your abuelo, he, I think, had made his chart. He's like all into astrology. And so there is a birth chart somewhere that's been done for him. I need to find it. And
oh, then, you need to find that.
I'll have to send it over to you so you can see.
I would love that. Hello, you little Virgo rising. What? So what were some of the things that you wanted to, what brought you for a reading?
Well, I was sort of intrigued about, because about, I think it's around now that I start going through my Saturn return.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that a little bit online. That's right.
Yeah. So that was one thing that was quite, do you want to go and play your Switch? Okay, so my
Switch. Come on. Yeah, you want to go. Go play. Just give us a couple more minutes. It'll be so good. And then you can come say goodbye on the show, okay? Give mommy like 15 more minutes.
I'll go get you something. Come here.
She'll go get you something. Okay. Everyone listening again, that's while she's taking a little bit of a break for her son. It's important, you know, when you people don't believe in astrology because they read these generic horoscopes in the Cosmopolitan or this or that. And yeah, sometimes that's a very basic, like what the sun means when it's moving into that sign. That is what you get when you get that. However, when you get into the birth chart, when you start, you know, all planets or horoscopes really run off of our rising sign. When you get into the depths, you get into the understanding. And then it's just a layer, like you do one chart reading and that's just the beginning. You're just kind of understanding. And then with each chart reading, you will keep reading and getting to know. And while Molly is still doing her thing, I'm going to tell you what she is. So she is a rising Aquarius, right? And she has her ascendant at 20 degrees and it's also on her Mercury at 22 degrees. So again, there's a part of her personality in her mind that's going to be very, very Aquarian, even though she has a sun in Pisces and the Sagittarius moon. The way she thinks and the way she communicates is going to be very Aquarius. She's going to have somewhat of a hot and cold communication when she's, which I want to talk to her about this. I don't know if she can hear me or not. Can you hear me or not?
No, I couldn't.
While you took a break, I just kept rolling with it. And I kept talking about some details of your chart. And I was saying, so your AC and your personality and your Mercury, mm-hmm. you know, they're in a conjunction. They're 2 degrees apart from each other.
Yeah.
So again, the way you communicate in your mind is going to be very Aquarius ruled. And there's also going to be you have a square to Pluto in Scorpio, so there's going to be a very like hot and cold sometimes, right? And you just totally shut down, like emotionally. Even if you close someone out or someone harms you, you shut down. If you're upset about emotions, you're going to shut down. You know, sometimes you're going to have like very big emotional feelings and say things, and also like struggle with like wanting to kind of people please and be that person, right? Do you feel that with the shutting down?
To a T. Like, it's actually, because these aren't things that, like, we've actually sort of, like, spoken about. This is all things that you've literally just, like, read from.
Thank you.
Yeah, from the chart.
For those listening, for everyone those, her and I have never talked about this. This is just me looking at a chart.
It's literally coming from you reading my chart. So, no, that, like, I'm completely, like, I really struggle with it. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, they think I'm being rude. But I just blow so hot and cold. I've learned a lot in the last couple of, probably the last sort of 6 months, how to not react so much and to take the time to respond a little bit more. Because I know that sometimes I can kind of be very
erratic
with the hot and cold. Yeah.
And how did you learn to gain awareness into that pattern?
I think because with my partner, I could see with him that it was kind of like not creating problems, but there was a lot like within our communication where it just wasn't helping. And I was like, if we're going to actually be able to communicate, like I need to stop sort of reacting, taking everything personally and just like wait a minute and respond. And then, yeah. But he knows me too well. So he like, I don't even have the chance to blow hot or cold. And he's like, there's something wrong. I'm like, not.
He knows that cold, that blowing cold is about to come and show up.
He knows before I blow cold that it's about to, he's like, oh, here she goes, bless him.
Aquarius take things personal, but they don't always let you know it. They just hold on to it for later and hold on to that. Yeah. But Pisces will let you know sometimes, the Pisces sent a little bit in the moment, like, too sensitive for that. That makes me too sad. So speaking of the last 6 months, for the last 4 months, we have had Venus you know, pretty much it's been a Venus themed 4 months since November. Mm-hmm. If you guys listen to my podcast, I feel like I've done 100 episodes about Venus because it retrograded. It made conjunctions with Pluto, made conjunctions with Mercury. Mars right now is a conjunction. So all of the, and again, it retrogrades like every 18 months. So some things happen. And all of this has been happening in your 12th house. All right. Not since November. Yes. Whole sign houses have been happening in your 12th house, right? Mm-hmm. The house of our shadows, of our self-undoing, of where we go wrong, our hidden enemies as well. You know, it's a very kind of darker, it's the darker, our darker shadow self, I like to say. So you probably have been, like you just said, getting a lot of understanding into your romantic patterns and the ones that are good as well as harmful.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny. It's sort of like good timing as well with like us obviously having a baby in a couple of months. So it's kind of a nice timing for that.
To get it out, you know, and when you're pregnant, you can't run from your emotions when you're pregnant. You know, it's like really out from there.
Yeah, I feel like this time around as well, I've been really just sort of like, what? Like I feel okay, like I'm good, like I'm happy, but at the same time I'm just like, oh my god, there is just so much to feel right now. I'm like, I keep having to take breaks where I'm like, no, today I'm just not, like, we'll do this another day.
Yes,
it's just, yeah.
And that's why, again, working one-on-one with people, I think, would be just so much. Like, once in a while, you could do it, but I think you'd be like, I got to, after every third person, like, I got to take, just because you are
such
a healer.
And it's funny,
because
I've always been hesitant to, like, put myself out there with it. And I wonder whether, like, deep down, that's something that I've probably resonated with. And I know that I want to maybe go towards a more of a, like, group coaching side to things. Definitely. Retreats have always been my dream as well. So it's funny that you said that. Yeah, like I've always had this dream to like have, like, build my own house, like have my own land and to be able to like run retreats on it and like have people like come over and
listen, you could totally do that, especially again, the moon being the environment and something like Sagittarius, the spiritual sign. Yeah. Like, I could so see that. And that would be something that would maybe even start being, so you're going into your Saturn return. The way I do it in the whole sign house, it's really when Saturn enters Pisces, which it does not until March of next year. I don't know, March 23rd, maybe, of 2023, okay, March 24th, something like that. And then it will stay there for 2.5 years. And then it will retrograde back into Aquarius a little bit, but into that. And some people that
I've got like a year leading up to my Saturn return, really.
You're leading up to your Saturn return right now.
I'm leading up to it.
Yes.
No, that makes, because I think I'd read it was like between sort of like 28 and 30 that it begins. Not that it's sort of like definitely through that time for everybody.
And that sort of is also, where it begins, where it was, also depends on what kind of house system you're using, you know, and various different astrology systems. There's a lot out there that are doing. So we're leading up right now. So it's, you know, yours is going to be around, this is what I'm guessing. I guess we got to return, you know, 2 years from now, because then that's when you can feel it. Let me explain Saturn returns before we jump into that. So Saturn return, when we look at Saturn, Saturn is our karma, our ancestral karma. It is the planet of also hard work. It's where our work ethic comes from, but it's our lessons. So when we want to look at our life lessons and things we're here to grow with, we look at Saturn, right? And it's oftentimes our harder lessons. So Saturn returns back to the same spot it was when you were born. And and especially your first Saturn return, if you're, you know, hopefully you get two. If you're really lucky, you'll get three. Is very much so like ending and starting your early childhood and your young life and throwing you into adult life for lessons. So especially you look back at the last 10 years, the mistakes that you made, your family karma, the family karma that was going on. It's almost like when you hit your Saturn return, you get your ultimate lesson. Now, and then at the end, when you fight through the lesson of the 2.5 years, you get the rewards that come from that. And oftentimes growth, strength, changing. And then I've seen some people go through their Saturn return and they did not learn and they just went through another 10-year cycle of repeating the same pattern. So kind of somewhere along is what that is, what that. Now, some Saturn returns are harder than others. It depends, again, on what you're here to learn and where your Saturn is placed, you know. You have, again, you have a well-placed Saturn that's in there with Venus. So I think it's going to be a lot of some growth. And you know, it's starting out a little bit with, I must say, with Japan. It's starting out with Jupiter already in your, hitting Saturn, right, in your house of finance. So there's going to be a lot of growth and changing around resources, your Saturn return, what you do for resources. Probably this is going to be a career change, because you also have it, you know, you have a nice trine there with your career house. So I think your Saturn return is going to be around lessons, and it could come as, you know, deciding you want to do one-on-one and then learning lots of lessons that way. You know, it's going to be probably around romance as well, because you got Venus in there. You got Venus, the Sun, and Saturn all in your, so Venus and the Sun are going to co-create with, they're going to play into, right, your Saturn return. Those two are going to play into, as well as Jupiter and Pluto are going to play into in your career house. So I think it's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be probably some confusion. Again, there's going to be some confusion, some understanding, some things maybe going wrong with your resources and all of that. But then, right, because, and I know you and your strong, hardworking spirit, when you go through that, when you learn your own patterns of destruction, or you're changing your family's karma, you'll come out the other side probably blooming with a brand new career and happy life and house and farm and all of that stuff. Yeah. Or maybe you're laying, you know, getting rid of some stuff to lay the foundation to begin that dream that you just told me about.
Yeah. I love it.
Does that sound good? That's definitely going to be what your Saturn return is about, is going to be your resources, your career, money, love, right? And your purpose and path in this life.
Yeah, that's cool. It's interesting, because in sort of on an intuitive level, when I'd sort of thought about what it would entail without knowing, like, those are sort of like the first sort of few that you mentioned were things that I all thought would like be coming in that time. So it's interesting.
That's what you felt?
Yeah, I don't know, like when I was thinking about it recently, I really felt that it was just sort of, there was something to do with like my career, with sort of like love and like family and like that sort of side of things. And yeah, so it is very interesting. I love hearing like you talk about it as well, because there's so many like aha moments where I'm like, oh.
That's what I love hearing, like, the aha moments, because that's why I do this, or even the charts. And if I can make someone understand or get some awareness into their mind, body, or soul, I mean, that's why I believe the purpose of what we're here.
Yeah.
And as you continue to uncover yourself, though, you're gonna have to also, and gain some awareness into your own self-help journey, self-love journey, you're gonna have to know when to pause it on yourself too, because you're gonna have a lot of times where, again, while you're healing, while you're working on things, while you're like, you might get extremely overwhelmed by something. Like, I don't know if I would even recommend ayahuasca from you just based on your chart. However, maybe other ones, but I feel like almost something like that would be so deep that you would be like fucked up for like 6 months afterwards, feeling like everything you saw or felt, you know?
But like, oh my God, I've done trips like in the past and not in like a sort of, not in a like led way where I would have, like, it's just sort of like a fun recreational thing. But a lot of the times like doing them, it was always such a like, okay, this is intense.
This is too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think I already sort of like feel and see things on such like an open, like deep level, that then when that just completely heightens it. And so I think if I'm not in the right space or head sort of area, and I haven't got like the right sort of provisions set up in place or with the right people, that it could be a really, not a good thing at all.
No, you could get stuck, meaning like stuck somewhere, you know, emotionally, where it might take you a while to get out of.
So no, still.
But whereas it would be more good for you to probably work one-on-one with someone for yourself. You know, you help others through groups, and you work one-on-one with someone, whether shaman, someone.
It's funny, because I've recently been working with my friend Sonia, and she's amazing. She does some like all of the things that I've sort of been wanting to get into and start working with more. So it's been amazing. She's really helped me to sort of like, the same way with, I've thought this would help to sort of like gain that self-awareness and just the confidence as well. Because I find that I know and sort of can do a lot of the things I think about, but I get very lack of confidence in just putting myself out there.
Putting yourself out there and letting go of that anxiety of how you are perceived.
Yeah.
You know, one of the souls.
I always try to learn and sort of keep the healing process going, all of those sort of things. But sometimes I think I'm just sort of like, just do the thing, Molly. Like, you know how. You don't have to keep
just
doing that
do all it. The
time. Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, and the Pisces sun will sometimes want you to stay in the background, you know, of your purpose and your path. The sun rules your purpose path, you know, your ego. And there's a little bit of, again, yes, we know the isolation, the hidden, the like, no, I'm not putting myself out there. I'm hiding under these covers.
Yeah.
So that is actually one of the things, you know, that I wrote down of like your soul lessons, the things you're here for is to find yourself and live yourself out loudly and proudly, right? And those parts have confidence in those parts of yourself and let go of the control of how others perceive you. Let go of the control as well as separating yourself from, in quotations, the other. And you're constantly giving and you're constantly merging very fast, you know, with people, and you merge into them sometimes, not even so much them merging into you. So one of your soul life lessons and ego is separating yourself from others and in a good way, meaning, you know, your own separate identity.
No, that makes total sense. It does.
Do you find yourself merging?
Yeah, because I'm so sort of like with the sort of mutable side of things, I sort of adapt very easy to the like sort of places and surroundings I'm in. And so I take a lot of time to just be silent with myself and recharge and like get back into Molly mode and not sort of other people mode.
Get back into Molly mode.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think the older I get, the easier it is to sort of navigate when I know that I've had too much and I need to sort of come back. And
wait until you have your Saturn return, because that's also such a big lesson in personality and confidence, I guess I should say, more not, you know, adding confidence to who you are and what you want in life. Yeah. Because, you know, some of the lessons do bring so much change and somewhat pain when you get through the other side. That's what happened to me. I'm like, damn, I'm a bad bitch. Like, I'm strong. I can do anything, you know, and things can transform. Your looks might even change. You know, I had in my Saturn return, I had it opposite Venus. So I transformed. I'm not trying to sound cocky, but I got much hotter, believe it or not. I didn't hit my prime until like the middle of my Saturn return. And all of a sudden, you know, now I'm 33.
Like,
I'll be 34.
I've always felt like I'm one of these late bloomers with that sort of thing.
Well, I see that. When I see a Saturn and Venus connection in some sort of way, oftentimes what I was in myself and other people is that like the beauty comes later. Your look comes later. Your aesthetic, you know, what you feel the most confident in comes later. So you're probably going to have some changes, you know, all of a sudden you'll be walking out in 2.5 years from now, 3 years is bad bitch Molly, you know, something new.
I see it.
So good. Well, how do you feel?
I feel good. Yeah, it's really interesting finding out sort of like your side, because it's literally, you've literally just like hit the nail on the head with things. So it's really, and I'm like really, I'm pleased to have done it in this way, because I haven't had to like take notes. I can like listen back to it.
Yes, listen and have
and hear,
it.
Like all of the different bits. So that's quite nice as well. It is. But no, it's really exciting sort of finding out more about like why you are the way you are and sort of why you do those things and how that can then like, because when you know about it, I feel like you have more sort of ability to then change courses and to bring in extra energy that maybe might not be there, or all of those sort of things.
Exactly. So that awareness, because people will say to me, Colleen, why is it important I know these things? Well, I don't understand why people don't want to walk a path of self-awareness and have awareness, but it is hard to do. But B, like there's you can change, and there's so much compassion and there's so much freedom and peace and understanding why you do the things you do. Yeah. And then
1 second.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I have an issue with my dogs.
Oh, doggies. What kind of dogs?
I've got two French bulldogs, but they get a little bit yappy.
Oh yeah, that's right. They're so cute.
Dev, come on.
One stop out, yapping.
One they start fighting.
Aww.
I think it's because Flo's she's coming into season. We both are, aren't we, Flo?
Aww.
So she's, yeah, she's a bit of a nutter. She winds Del up.
She winds it.
You're about to see her because she's going to come.
Hello, little friend. Hello. Little friend. Oh, my God. Look at that dog. I love French bulldogs. I would want one. Are they as expensive there as they are here? They're really expensive here in the United States.
I think they're probably, because we've obviously got the price difference, they're sort of a bit cheap, but no, they're still quite very expensive. We were really sort of lucky. They sort of came to us.
Oh, they did?
The universe sort of just provided us with
the universe them. Always provides. Aww. Yeah. Well, Molly, are you, now that we're getting to the end of the episode and the chart reading and everything, are you, do you want to tell people where they can find you if they're curious, your website, if you're still putting yourself out there?
Yeah, well, if anyone wants to come and find me, I am at Root and Balance. It's the same for the website, it's .org, and then on Instagram, it's just, Root and Balance.
And what are you doing right now helping people with?
Pardon?
What are you doing right now, or just helping people, just doing your Reiki?
Now, at the moment I'm sort of offering one-to-one healing sessions online. I'm not doing much face-to-face with sort of being pregnant and entering that phase. And then I am still sort of looking to start working with clients, maybe one-to-one to begin with.
And that'll be part of your Saturn return.
Something group at the end of the year. So
good.
But, you can find me over on there, and any updates are sort of once I come out of my shell.
Well, you will, and that's going to be part of your purpose. There. That's going to be part of your Saturn return too. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing part of your soul, and you are beautiful and wonderful, and it's been a pleasure following our journeys over the years. Thank you, everyone, again for listening. I was excited about this episode. Let me know what you think. If you want more of these, yes, Colleen, that was awesome. We learned a lot. Let me know what you think about this. Make sure you follow me across the board, Cosmic Colleen, one C in the middle, _ on Twitter. And I hope everyone has a fabulous day. Thank you so much. Love you all, and goodbye.